My name is Sofia Cortesis. I'm a Berlin-based DJ from Peru.
I didn't care about nothing else but partying.
I should be doing horror film music.
Yeah, Mark, kunde vi få göra något här?
Why you getting that impression?
Jag älskar liksom så typ koncept.
It's exciting, it's fresh, it's different. The purists hated it.
It's really strange.
I tried working for the man, but well, fuck it, you know.
Whatever makes you feel good, go with it.
Old to the new. A flavor from the old, so you don't scare people, but with the future sound.
Sofia Cortesis är Peru plus Tyskland. Peruansk rytmik och andernas lekfullhet blandas med tysk minimalism och drivkraft. Resultatet blir house på ett nytt sätt. Cortesis hade många drömmar som liten, men allt ställdes på ända efter en enstaka händelse. Hon kysste fel person, kastades ur skolan och skickades i terapi.
I was in love with a girl that I like get kicked off of school, of two schools, and they send me to a psychiatrist and then to go and pray and ask for forgiveness for the way that I feel. It was horrible.
Det här är Musik och Dernulf med Sofia Cortesis. Peru har spridit sin nationalrätt ceviche världen över, men de senaste åren så har även nivån på restaurangerna i de stora städerna, framförallt Lima, blivit uppenbart för resten av världen. World's 50 Best Restaurants har i år med 4 restauranger från huvudstaden Lima och till och med det ställe som toppar listan, Central. För Sofia Cortesis så har maten en stor plats och hon har även noterat hur olika hon äter beroende på var hon befinner sig i världen. I Berlin där hon idag bor blir det enklare och mer avskalat och kanske inte så färgglatt, i alla fall när det gäller dagens första mål.
Well, chocolates, like maybe like coffee. This is like the things that I eat when I'm on tour. When I'm at home in South America, I eat like a lot of fruits because they have different colors and it looks so nice and it tastes so different than in Europe. So it's like two different lifestyles sometimes. It's like when I'm there, I'm like a child and like very caring about senses and everything. And when I'm in Europe, I'm more like a machine, like a robot, like that has to work very fast. And that's why maybe like also like the things that I eat are very different. It's like you have a different persona.
I also sort of found out that you said that you wear black more in Europe compared to when you're back home in South America.
Yeah. In South America it's very different because it's like the spaces that I go are more like bright and also like with different scenarios, very like colorful. And the smell and everything is just a different galaxy sometimes. And in Berlin, it's like, I love Berlin so much. It's like, I always say it's the motor of me.
So, Sofia Cortesis, welcome to Musik och Dernulf.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so, so honored to be here. Thank you.
Sofia Cortesis växte upp i en familj med politiskt aktiva föräldrar. Mamman arbetade med att hjälpa ursprungsbefolkningen och pappan var advokat och åtog sig huvudsakligen fall för de som inte hade råd med juridisk hjälp. Hon är född utanför Lima i Peru, i staden Magdalena. Peru är känt för en fantastisk natur och med städer som Lima och Cusco, men kanske framförallt för den gamla Inka-staden Machu Picchu som tillhör ett av världens 7 nya underverk. Det har inte varit så mycket peruansk musik som fått genomslag i Sverige, men någon kanske känner till Yma Sumac som blev berömd för sin sång och omfång på 5 oktaver.
They say in Peru the only thing higher than the lofty peaks of the Andes is the voice of Yma Sumac.
She has a 5-octave vocal range and she has been called a miracle of nature, her voice has. And to top it off, this woman is an Inca princess. She is currently working here in New York at the ballroom. Ladies and gentlemen, brace yourselves. Please welcome the Peruvian nightingale, Yma Sumac.
Mm-hmm. peruansk musik väntar nog på nästa stora framgång och Sofia Cortesis banar vägen för en ny era. I övrigt är nog författaren och Nobelpristagaren Mario Vargas Llosa landets mest kända person för oss här på andra sidan världen. So, can you recall also your sort of first memory of wanting to act?
To act, yeah. I was 5 years, and I remember my uncle is a director, a theater director, and he always took me like to see the plays. And one of this time, I ran into a theater scene. And like try to imitate that. I have to kick me out. Like, don't let her in anymore. So that was one of the like my memories of acting. Yeah.
And I know you sort of had your first love was acting as a young kid,
yeah.
And you did try to pursue that as well.
Yeah, but then I realized that I wanted to be more like a director than an actor. That's why I left home when I was 17 to study movies. But then, because I had also like this love for music that my father gave me, so somehow like when I was like paying for my film school, or, like working as a waitress, I also like worked in bars and in music clubs, and then I started to DJ like out of the blue with vinyl and everything, and I said like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do a party, and then everything like basically started there, like from very young age. I was a rapper. I was very bad, very bad, very shitty. But I was always in love with the samples of hip hop beats. So I started to do like electronic hip hop. Was really bad. And then I went to electronic indie, and then like slowly find my path.
Quitting film school or yeah. Quitting directing,
yeah.
Was that something that was difficult to do? Or
I think still when I look back, I said like, why I didn't finish it? I should have finished it. But it was just like a few months. But I was like, sometimes when something gives in my mind, I quit and just leave and started something new. Maybe I will go back and finish it. But I guess I have already the tools that I need to maybe like finish to write a script and just do like little, like film my own video clips and maybe like telling like some stories myself.
And then when you realize that you quit directing or wanting to be a director and then headed into music, was it sort of obvious that it should be hip hop at the time?
No, I was lost. I just had so much to say, but I didn't know through what kind of melodies I would do it. But I just always wanted to try to tell my story. But it didn't work as a rapper. It was too aggressive. So I needed to find like how to express. And I guess like electronic music was also very like melancholic and more like smooth and yeah. But like the hip hop music helped me a lot because it's like I still have like this, I do music through sampling, so it's like not so different from what I'm doing right now, but it's just a different beat. Yeah.
This time, ladies and gentlemen, it's got to be keep it to yourself.
So do you have any specific memory of music early on in your life?
Yeah, I have like these places where my father used to take me because he was a lawyer, but he was also like a musician. So he used to take me to like old like taverns or like where like a lot of Afro-Peruvian music was getting played. So he really teach me from young like the diversity of music that we have in our country. So he always makes sure that we soak all the history and like all the places where we go that are represented by, like, for example, when we went to the Amazon, when my mom was working there, I was very impressed by the sound of nature of the Amazon and also of the tribes that they have, like, their own chanting. When we was in Cusco, like in Machu Picchu, they have also like their own way of sound. So that's why sometimes I always think that I do the music from the places I go and the people I met. So yeah, it's like, and now with a combination of Berlin, that is like the more technical part, I guess. So it's, maybe it's like a collage of all these worlds where I'm being in diversity of time.
Sofia Cortesis är på ett sätt fången mellan två världar. Hon har den konservativa peruanska katolska världen som sin grund och så den tyska liberala världen som sin verklighet idag. Nära 80% är katoliker i Peru och katolicismen till trots så tillåter Perus lagstiftning homosexualitet, men om du gifter dig med någon från samma kön så har du inte samma rättigheter som ett heterosexuellt par. Och det är något som Sofia arbetar för att förändra. Hon drömde om att bli rappare, skådespelare, filmare. Men det här peruanska energipaketet hittade till slut rätt som musiker och skapare av house med en mix av Sydamerika till Berlins klubbattityd. Enstaka låtar på SoundCloud i början av 10-talet visade på en lekfullhet och framförallt på hur Sofia letade efter att hitta en form och struktur. Hon gav ut en EP 2015, This Is It, som nu är indragen, men det går att hitta några av låtarna på nätet. Det dröjde till 2018 innan hon åter dök upp med nytt material och då på Studio Barnhus samling volym 1. What kind of music did you listen to while exploring music as a teenager?
Like as a teenager I of course every favorite, like it was Björk and then Kraftwerk and then, like a lot of German things, like from Smallville. Then there was like a lot of German bands, but also like all this like British bands like Mount Kimby. I really loved to listen to them, and like or Gold Panda. We produced two songs together, and I think he influenced a lot of my music, and of course Caribou and like all these indie electronica bands, like Fortet, of course. Like, I mean, I was not a teenager by then. I was like already in my 20s, but I think they really like guide me in the type of way where I like some kind of, and of course, Cozy, like Kotze, was always a big influence about how to make electronic music very for the club, but also for the soul, I guess. Yeah, I was very in love with Pampa Records. And of course, my favorites were, I never saw that I would release, it was always Studio Barnhus. I always loved the way like they were doing this incredible, beautiful, amazing dance music, but also very vulnerable and very deep soul and with so much passion. And they were always like my heroes. And it was like so amazing to work with them. They're such beautiful people. And yeah.
And how did the collaboration come about?
Oh, I sent once Axel Bormann a track when I was very drunk. Already. Nearly 6-7 years. Win-win send. And then they released it like the year after. And then it went, working with them wasn't so well that I just kept releasing music. And I said, like, I always telling Axel that without him, I could not made it. Yeah, they're amazing. Like, I love the way they do music. Also, Bella Boo is like, wow, she's so good. I don't know why all the Studio Barnhus acts are very, very, very friendly, talented people. I don't know why. How is a superpower to about this label? But they're all very hurtful. Like music with heart, and it's very arty. It's like a collage of like your favorite movies with the favorite soundtracks about it. It's so beautiful. And all of them are super nice and very like vulnerable people, like very open from another planet. Because I meet a lot of musicians when I'm on tour and not everybody is like as kind as they are.
What helped you in your development as an artist after the first releases on Studio Barnhus?
To keep exploring, like, see, like, how can I can write poetry for the dance floor. That I was always trying to do because, like, it's easier to write a good techno song that is a good loop to play, but I guess it's not enough. It has, like, I always think that we are also, like, very privileged to have like a platform where we have something to say, and I needed also to make sure that the people feel the way that I do, and the way that I do is like some people are not alone by feeling this way. So I started like always like, and I see it even more like that the music that I do has to have like some kind of opinion and message out.
Go back a few years, it seems like you have you felt like you always were sort of the odd one out in a sense growing up in Peru, is that right?
Yeah, because I have lived a lot of discrimination. It started all when I was in school and I was in love with a girl, then I like get kicked off of school, of two schools, and it was always like I always thought there was something wrong with me. That's why I was so happy to be in Berlin and realize that it was normal to feel the way that I felt. But because I was first in a German and then a Catholic school, and the Catholic school is like, you are the demon. They sent me to a psychiatrist and then to go and pray and ask for forgiveness for the way that I feel. It was horrible. They still do this with young teenagers over there.
Was it easy to convince your parents that you actually should move to Berlin?
Oh, my dad didn't talk to me for 5 years. But my mom said, like, okay, I'm gonna... My mom is the best ever. Like, she paid for my ticket and she wrote the letter and then I left. So, like, okay, bye. Because I was unhappy. I was, like, she knew that it was nothing wrong with me. It's like the way that I was thinking was a little bit a contradiction at the time. Like... In the beginning of 2000, people were not like so liberated as they are now, right now.
And what was your first initial thoughts when you came to Germany?
I said, like, I could breathe. It's like, okay, that's how it is. Like, I'm okay. I'm normal. Like, everybody feels like confused. It was nice. It was feeling liberated, and I was not feeling that I was keeping fucking it up. I was not feeling that I was doing mistakes. I felt very like motivated to create and go and experiment.
Flytten till Berlin var ett måste. Det var enda sättet att skapa ett eget liv. Berlin skulle bli något annat. Staden stod för drömmar och möjligheter och var raka motsatsen till en inskränkt tillvaro i Peru. Hon var ung och tog intryck från många olika scener och i sitt sökande efter riktning och personlighet blev det för mycket. Det blev för mycket klubbande, för mycket droger. Och hon förstod snart att det var något annat hon sökte och lyckades styra sin kraft mot skapandet och långsamt men säkert hittade hon fram till sitt eget musikaliska språk.
I really met Milton first. I was working on a set in Hollywood.
The music you created after arriving, what did it sound like?
Very dark, but then it skipped. Then it skipped. But it's like, yeah, I still have like some of my songs. I still have like this Berlin, like, for example, the Goddess is very like. Is it? Yeah, I still have this in my mind. Yeah.
And then it changed.
And then it changed. Then I got depressed again. Yeah. Can you imagine that one of my first life experience was Mojo Club? It was a jazz club in Berghain, like was 19. And I realized, oh my God, I'm in the Museum of Music, like everywhere. Like in Berlin and at the, like 2007, 2008, they were of a lot like the punk scene and like electronic scene. It was so underground that there was houses where you have like little different arty underground parties. It was, I was like, oh my God, like I was learning so much by going to these different places and see so much about film, visuals and concerts and all this punk scene and all this techno dark scene. It was amazing.
De senaste åren har Sofia pendlat mellan Tyskland och Peru då först hennes pappa blev dålig och sedan hennes mamma. Mycket av musiken hon skapat berör just familjen och dess betydelse, och trots att hon hade en komplicerad relation till sin pappa så återfick de kontakten mot slutet av hans liv. När hennes pappa gått bort så kom nästa dystra besked. Hennes mamma hade cancer och av den typen som läkarna på plats sa att det inte gick att bota. Sofia vägrade acceptera det och kontaktade via Instagram en läkare i Tyskland, en av världens främsta neurokirurger, och fick honom att ta sig an mamman trots dystra utsikter. Mot förmodan så lyckades operationen, och idag har mamman flyttat med Sofia till Berlin. Och läkaren Peter Vajkocci har på kuppen blivit en god vän till familjen och fått en låt dedikerad till sig på albumet Madres. En nyfunnen frihet att uttrycka sig kom fram genom musiken, men tillät henne också att omfamna sin roll som aktivist både i Tyskland och när hon var tillbaka hemma i Peru. Hon kämpar för könens lika rätt, skydd av queerpersoner och tillgång till säkra aborter i Peru. Idag är hon en tydligt starkare person än när hon lämnade Peru, och idag har hon en bra relation med sitt hemland. Peruviansk kultur genomsyrar hennes musik och skivomslag. Där hennes tidiga produktioner byggde på samplingar så valde hon inför Madres att skapa något som skulle bli luftigare och upplevas aningen mer levande. Så demoskisserna skapades på nytt och spelades in live med diverse vänner, och sedan adderade hon sina fältinspelningar som hon spelat in under olika resor i Peru. För Sofia är havet och framförallt surfandet viktigt, och det var extra betydelsefullt under de tidiga åren. Uppvuxen vid kustlinjen till Stilla havet har hon format sin kreativitet i samspelet mellan brädan och vattnet.
It's like what gives me a lot of energy after all the craziness. Like going surfing is like, it's like waking you up, shaking you when you're once with nature. It's like, and you're getting the waves. It's like, yeah, when you couldn't breathe and then you breathe again. It's like this you with nature and something where there's gravity and it's bigger than yourself. It's like so beautiful. Like there's nothing more beautiful than nature and then being once with it, enjoying it in the same, like in the same wave. Yeah.
Does it have any similarity to being creative, to create music?
Yeah, like when I surf, I am very much creative. I feel like I wake up earlier, I'm in a better mood, better place, and then like a lot of ideas come in my mind, and I started to be more sensitive with the place where I am to get more ideas. It's like the best thing that you can do. It's like I really like swimming, like and surfing and all these things with water. I don't know what, it's like a magic thing.
Mm. Surfandet ersattes under några år med ett slags mediterande i havets närvaro där hon tillsammans med sin sjuka pappa kunde låta vågornas spel och rytmik vara ett slags närmande och helande. Det sättet att låta en gemensam kärlek till havet och naturen få vara närvarande i återupprättandet av en relation påverkade Sofia och hennes musik.
After Sarita Colony it changed. It was like it's because when you deal with death with somebody that was so close to you, you really make a catharsis of your life and then everything changed. And then like maybe because I realize that when my father died, that the most important value things are the memories that you have and that give you awake and gives you warmness. And that's what I'm trying to see. If in one of the tours the plane goes down, I just want people to remember like something, that they have something when I was alive. Even if it's like help, like whatever it is, like a song that makes them feel better. Yeah. It's like it's changed a lot. Like I was younger and I was very selfish and I did just music because I wanted people to dance to my music. But now, no. It's like now I realize that I have a mission here. And it's like to make people feel okay.
Albumet Madres visar på hennes resa mot att må bättre. Från en skör och osäker karaktär med rädslan för att förlora allt till en försiktig förhoppning. För att sen ta sig genom sorg och vidare och få uppleva glädje. Städerna Berlin i Tyskland, Magdalena i Peru representerar två kulturer som är långt från varandra. Organiska och färgsprakande klanger från Peru kombineras med de mer klubbiga elektroniska elementen från hennes storstadsliv Berlin. Sofia Cortesis sammanfattar allt i musik som blir som en varm bris av glädje och energi. Du har hört Musik och Dernulf med Sofia Cortesis. Tack för att du lyssnar och sprid gärna ordet. När du blir Patreon får du ett längre program med ännu mer musik. Tack för support. Vi hörs!